Is everybody here?
Yeah.
Hi, who's on the call?
Hi, right, that's better. With Michelle Brainerd.
Oh, hi, Michelle. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
This is Veronica. Hi.
Oh, okay. Oops, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that name.
My phone's cutting in and out. Sorry. My name's Veronica.
Monica. Hi.
Veronica, with a V.
Oh, Veronica. Veronica and
yes.
Michelle I have
yes.
so far. Hi.
Hi.
And Jonathan's on the call as well. Hi.
Jonathan, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Anybody else here?
Hi, Teppo.
Sorry, who's that? I'm sorry. I know the beginning is hard because everybody talks and then stops talking at the same time, but I promise we'll get through it.
My name's Madison.
Madison, hi.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Teppo.
I'm sorry, what is your name?
Teppo. It's a Finnish name, so.
Teppo?
Yep.
Is that right? Teppo, hi.
Yes. Hi.
We get everybody? Just posted an update reminder on the DARE challenges page, just in case anybody for some reason didn't get the message. But before we get started, I just want to make sure John usually comes in the beginning of the call to see if anybody's having technical problems. So I usually ask that in the beginning. Anybody having trouble accessing everything? I know it's still the beginning of the DARE challenges, but anybody having a hard time with anything other than, you know, anxiety? No?
Is this call going to be recorded? If
this call, these group calls are recorded, only accessible to people that are part of this group. So this way you can go back and listen to all of the information. If you want to change your name and pretend you're somebody else, you're more than welcome to, or your voice or whatever. If there's some reason, I've never said this, I haven't said this in a long time on the calls, but if you say something and you don't want it as part of the call, I think we can have it edited somehow. I think that's come up once in like the last 10 years that I've been doing this with Barry. But yes, I will mention that too. The calls are recorded. Also, there's I run my calls off mute, so nobody's muted or anything like that, which means that if there's any sort of background noise, it's really amplified on the call. So if you could, even if there's wind outside, sometimes it really picks up on the group call. If you could just mute yourself, and then you can just unmute when you come back on, so we can all hear the calls clearly. I also suggest that for the recorded calls, for people that do want to go back and listen, to mark down like the time of the call, if it's 20 minutes into the call and you hear something really, really awesome, mark down that time. Because after a while, you know, if you stick with us and you just go on to DARE Advanced, there's lots of group calls with lots of information. So just knowing where to move back and forth in the recording can be helpful instead of hearing my voice for an hour and try to find like the five words I said that you found helpful. All right? And if anybody starts hearing me click out or I sound choppy or you can't hear me, just please interrupt me. I once ran a group call with myself on mute for the first 20 minutes. So it happens. So there's a chance it can happen again. So just let me know if you can't hear me. Please let me know if I talk too fast. I know I have kind of a pretty strong New York accent, and I speak pretty quickly. Just wave the white flag, and I will slow down. Okay?
I can't log into the DARE member area. Is that what you were asking about, if anybody had issues with?
DARE members area, huh. And do you have a password for there?
Yeah, it's just my email. It just keeps not taking my email for some reason.
Huh. Did you send a message to support yet, or not yet?
Yeah, they just keep resetting my password, but it seems to be an issue with my email. So I'll ask them about it.
Okay, you know what? And before I forget, I didn't do this on my last group calls of all the new people. If anybody needs to speak to me, like, I can't really do much for technical support other than, like, speak to technical support for you if you can't get through, but they're usually very, they usually get back to you very quickly. But my email address for anybody who ever does want to be in touch with me is Michelle with two L's, Kavanaugh, Cavanaugh, coaching at Gmail. I always think I'm going to say that at the end of the call, and then I forget, and then it's not that. So if anybody ever wants to be in touch with me, Facebook isn't always the best because sometimes it goes to that weird purgatory inbox, and then it's not seen for like 9 months. So email would be the best. Okay?
Okay. All right. All right. So welcome to your challenges, everybody. I believe this is purely for health anxiety. Is that correct? Everybody in the right spot?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Yep.
All right. We're all in it together. All right. So, just a little brief background. I think I know maybe a couple of you on the call already from before, but my name is Michelle Kavanaugh. I have been running Gary's Dare coaching program since he started them about 10 years ago. So they've come through all different changes, and now we're moving into something that's a little more. You're kind of like the second batch of challenges for specific things. We also have a boot camp program, which is, you know, kind of the general scope of anxiety and everything underneath this umbrella. But I know some people were looking for more like a program that was more specifically catered towards their particular needs. There's just a lot of background noise. I don't know if anybody's having some. Oh, it seems to be gone. Somebody muted themselves, I think. Okay, perfect. So I am a licensed clinical social worker, but on these calls, I function in the capacity of a coach. I live in New York with my husband and my three children, and I will reference my children all the time because they are perfect anxiety references. For anybody who has children, you would probably know. So does anybody have any general technical or any other kind of questions or issues before we kind of get started into this, in case anybody's like really wanting to say or ask something before we get going? No? Okay. So with health anxiety, I know you guys are just getting started for this week, but, on the very first group calls I have with people, even if it's a one-to-one call, I try and make sure everybody has the same basic knowledge and the same basic information, because a lot of times people have gotten the program or that you read through it and you think like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. I totally get it. I love this. Perfect. But, and then I always wait for that big but it's like really hard to do. But why am I still having anxiety? Oh, I'm accepting and allowing, but why am I still having these thoughts? Oh, there's another sensation. Oh, now I'm dying, right? I'm either fine or I'm booked. There's something else. Something terrible is happening. So if that's you, you are in the right place. So what I try and do is give just a little synopsis of what anxiety really is. And what's kind of cool is that I can sort of have this conversation on most of every other call I run. Because as you'll see in a little bit, it's not even necessarily health. It's our perception of it. It's our fight against the ideas of it. And then I'll open up the call for anybody who has any specific questions or how to implement DARE or your challenges that are coming up. Okay? Sound good? Everybody?
Sounds good.
Can everybody hear me okay?
Quick question. Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
About muting, how you
sure.
Actually mute the phone? I'm in my car, and I just don't want to be disruptive, so I'm not sure exactly how to do that.
Oh, I guess, is there a mute button on your phone?
Well, I'm not sure, like, it's like some audio calls, it's like a *6 or something like that. So is this actually muted on the phone?
Sure, you could do *6 to mute and *7 to talk.
Gotcha. All right, thank you.
Unless you have just like a mute button on your actual phone, that would work too.
Gotcha.
But I don't seem to hear any background noise coming from you. But it seems like half the call has muted himself, so
all right,
I might
thank
be quiet.
You.
But please unmute if
all
you
right,
guys pop
you.
Up and talk. Sure. Okay, so just a quick little background on what your alarm really, what's really happening. So this is basically our alarm system, our alarm system that we all have. We all have all these different systems in our body, right? We have a digestive system. We have a circulatory system. We learn all about them in school, which is nice. And I kind of think we should learn about this system too. You know, it's part of all of us, not all of us people who have anxiety, but everybody. You know, it's that fight or flight response, and it's designed to be in our bodies to keep us alive. It is the simplest, is the simplest system we have. You know, without getting into the amygdala, parasympathetic nervous system, and all of that, what it really is designed to do is if your body, if your alarm system senses danger, it sends you energy so you can do something with that energy to stay alive. Right? So in a perfect world, let's say thousands of years ago, how it really is designed to work is that you wake up and you're in an unsheltered place, right? You basically did have to survive all that time ago. You were living, you were surviving all day long. You had to find food. You had to find shelter. There was wild animals out there. So you were surviving. So you needed your alarm system to basically send you energy when there was danger. So if you wake up during the night and you turn your head and there's a tiger, right? You don't have to think about it. You don't have to Google it and see if this is the kind of tiger that eats me. Is this the kind of tiger that's like kind of okay? No, it's an automatic response. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to ask for it. It's right? A startle. It's an automatic response. Just like if somebody, you know, somebody taps you from behind and you don't know they're there, you jump. So we don't tell our bodies to do that. Our bodies just do that based on what's stimulating it, right? So there is the tiger and we jump. And now here's a bunch of energy. Big adrenaline rush, right? Which I'm sure many of us are very familiar with on this call. And you take that energy and you use that energy to survive. So either, I mean, some of us are going to take that energy and fight the tiger, right? We're going to punch it. We're going to hit it. We're going to kick it. We're going to get our little rocks and throw it at the tiger, and we're going to fight. Some of us are going to get the hell out of there, right? Bye. I was already planning on leaving, you know, 20 different ways at 20 different times. Goodbye. And we flee, right? Some people freeze. Don't move. The tiger won't see you. Either way, it's all about surviving. So while you're doing something, your alarm notices you're still doing something. It says, oh, Michelle's still in danger. She's still fleeing. Michelle's still in danger. She's still fighting. She's still frozen. She's not moving. Here's, and it will keep sending you energy. And as you guys could probably tell, you know, when you get like a panic attack or that rush of adrenaline, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes kind of goes, and you kind of get another wave of it, right? For people who might say, oh, I had a 24-hour panic attack. Not really. You had, you know, probably multiple times where you had another little dose of adrenaline sent through your body, right? Oh, here's some more energy. We checked in. She's still fighting. She used up all that last energy. Here's some more. And as long as you keep fighting, you continue to ask your alarm for more energy to get rid of this thing that you're trying to get rid of. Okay? So in a real life situation, in real survival, it is a tiger, right? Or it is a fire, or it is bees. That has been my new thing. It used to be zombie apocalypse. Now it's bees. Like, are there bees? Then get out of the room if there are bees, right? Like the bees, freeze so the bees don't sting you. Leave the room that the bees are in. Like, stay alive. Stay safe, right? So that is how it works when it's working perfectly, right? And then when the tiger is gone, or the tiger's dead, or you're safe, you go, oh, danger's over. Oh, I'm done. No more fighting. and then your alarm sees, oh, she stopped fighting. Wind it down, people. We're good. We're safe until the next time. Until the next time that tiger comes around, then your body regulates itself. You're not in high alert mode anymore. So let's say the next day you wake up and there is a lion instead of a tiger. Like, oh, she fought the tiger. Well, that's a lion. That's not the same thing, but it's kind of like that last thing. So since she fought that last thing, let's send her energy just in case she has to fight that thing too. And if it's a lion, damn right you're going to fight the lion, right? Of course you are, because you're trying to stay alive. So you fight the lion. You might wake up and there's a kitty cat, right? So there's a kitty cat. You might not, you know, think that it's dangerous, but you still might get that initial jolt. Oh, it's just a cat. Oh, it's just a kitten. I don't know why I said kitty cat. I was just at my daughter's preschool graduation, and I'm still stuck in, like, five-year-old mode. The cat, the kitten. So you might get that initial jolt, but then your next reaction is, oh, it's just a cat. Doesn't mean your body's immediately settled down, but you know now, it's just a cat. It's not a lion or a tiger. It's just a little baby kitten. It's fine. And then when you let go, your body brings itself back down. Does that make sense to everybody? I know that sounds like a little childish, but there's a reason for it, because we're trying to keep it super simple. Does that make sense? I think most people are kind of get that.
Yeah.
Yes? All I need is one yes, and I'll keep going. Perfect. I have a lot of people here on mute for some reason. So what happens now? Fast forward to here we are now. Where we get stuck, we sort of send our alarm system into a spiral where either we have been through danger or something felt like danger, or we're fighting the idea of danger, right? So now it's not a tiger. It's what if there's a tiger, or it feels like a tiger, or I need to get rid of this thought is like it's, I'm thinking of a tiger. Now it's the idea of danger. So now we start fighting ideas that remind us of danger. We start fighting how we feel. To me, I always say feel is the big F word when it comes to anxiety. But can anybody on the call describe anxiety without using the word feel? Right? Everybody always feels like they're dying, right? I feel like I'm passing out. This must be a heart attack or a stroke or cancer. Or it's always like, you know, all or nothing. It's never, oh, I guess my heart's just racing a little bit. Oh, well, it's nope. I am fine to I'm dying. I am fine to I'm having a heart attack. I'm fine to, and it's always worst case scenario. Unless I'm wrong, somebody call me out saying, no, sometimes I just think I have a little bit of a cold. Nope, nobody on this call thinks they just have a little bit of a cold, right? Or thinks, oh, it's just a little funny feeling. No, when we are on high alert, we are noticing every little twinge, every little move. We're focusing on it. We're keeping little mental notes on how often they occur, what I'm pairing it up with, right? Oh, every time I eat or drink this, I have this feeling. So I better not eat and drink this after 10:30, before 10:30, fine. We make all these like funny little associations when it comes to it. And then we start fighting thoughts and sensations. And they are always uncomfortable thoughts and sensations, because why would we fight nice ones, right? Nobody ever calls me and says, oh, Michelle, I just feel like I'm so relaxed all the time, and it's causing me so much anxiety. You know, I feel like I'm being massaged by angels and licked by kittens. I'm on a kitten kick today, I guess. But it's never that. It's always I'm having sensations that I don't like, that are uncomfortable, or that remind me of something that could be worse, right? Or I'm having ideas of something I don't like. Because I go from sitting fine eating lunch to I have a weird feeling, and now suddenly I'm planning my own funeral. And it happens, as I think most of you know, in like the drop of a hat, very quickly, that runaway train goes off. And now we are fighting ideas. Our alarm does not know the difference between real danger and perceived danger. It doesn't know what's actually dangerous. It just knows that if you're fighting something, it's going to send you energy to help you fight whatever it is that you're fighting. Does that make sense? In a very backwards sort of way?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yes.
I have a question, though. My biggest problem is not with the sensations of anxiety. I kind of don't get a lot of them anymore, and that's because of the program that I've been doing with the DARE. I just can't handle the what-if thoughts. And so, you know, just, I mean, you know, I'm so tuned into my body that things that most people, and not even, and they're not, and like this one of the things that I think trips me up a little bit is, you know, Barry always talks about being afraid of your anxious sensations. I don't get a lot of anxious sensations. I did in the past, I just don't anymore. And so, but what I get afraid of is just, the blemish on my leg that I feel like wasn't there 2 weeks ago is that cancer. The pain in my tooth, you know, that wasn't there 2 weeks ago is that cancer. And that, that's where I get, and I just can't diffuse those what if thoughts. Like I just.
Right. And I don't think you're alone on that.
I don't feel like I have power over them.
Right. You kind of don't. Not in the sense of trying to make them feel better. It's about, like, thoughts aren't really any different from sensations. Anybody else on the call on thoughts? It's always a big thing, especially with health anxiety, because it's like, yeah, sensations are sensations, but they're usually tied in with because of the sensations are attached to the idea of something absolutely terrible, awful happening to you, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
usually
you can ruin. It can ruin my day, and I desperately want to Google or go to the doctor to find some kind of reassurance that, and most people wouldn't even see a blemish on their skin and think cancer, but that's immediately where my mind goes. And so, you know, I want to be the person who looks at a blemish and doesn't think cancer, you know, because it's so disruptive to my life.
Right. And I think that's where most people get a little bit stuck when you're trying to use their, like, I just want to just enough with these freaking thoughts, man, right? Just enough. I just want to stop thinking like this. I just want to think like everybody else, right? Got to use dare and just like, just enough of this already. Like, just let's go back to how I was before. Or, you know, just like, I don't want to think that. Basically, it's like, if I don't want to think that anymore, when we start using dare almost as like a weapon to get rid of thoughts or make thoughts feel better or sensations, we kind of use those interchangeably. So, again, it doesn't matter what you're fighting. As long as you're fighting something, anxiety will help you fight it. So if the thought is, what if I have cancer? And you are fighting a thought, like it's honestly just a thought that's in your head. You had a thought in your head that you don't like, and your alarm notices that you're fighting it. It's like this little guy in a dark room. It's only triggered when you kind of hit that oh shit button, you know, and you're like, oh, there's that thought. You hit that big red button and it says, oh, she's fighting something here. So again, it doesn't matter if it's a thought or a sensation or a combination of the two, because those are usually our favorites, right? We pair up a sensation with a thought and we fight it usually with the what if. As long as we are trying to get rid of something, our alarm will continue to send us energy to get rid of that thing. So as long as we keep fighting, it keeps ringing. But it keeps ringing because we keep fighting. So anxiety, like, it's not in the discomfort. It's not in those thoughts. Anxiety really has nothing to do with having thoughts you don't like or sensations we don't like or weird little blemishes that nobody else would notice. Right? We're so tuned in. We're looking at everything under like a magnifying glass, checking it out, looking for danger, right? We don't have cancer. We're worrying that what if we do have cancer? But what if this is the heart attack? But what if I pass out now? Right? So if those situations were actually happening now, you would be dealing with them in that moment right now, and that energy would be used to actually deal with the situation. Wow, I am on fire right now. I am on fire. So if you are on fire right now, don't call me. Like, call 911 and deal with that situation, right? Because if it was a real life, actual happening situation, you wouldn't be so concerned about, oh, that's an uncomfortable thought and I can't get rid of that thought from, or that funny little feeling. Oh, I have that funny thing on my leg. You're like, no, I'm freaking on fire. Let's put the fire out, right? So all of that attention and focus and hyper-awareness would be on the actual situation. But now we're fighting the ideas of the situation. Kapashu. So
thank you.
I usually compare it to like the smoke alarm in our homes. And for any of people who've heard me before, I'm sure you've heard this before. It doesn't even mean danger, right? It's just a little device from Home Depot, and you know, when it's triggered by smoke, it makes a lot of noise. It also makes my dog pee on the floor. It does a lot of things, right? but it doesn't mean danger, because it rings the same way when your house is burning down to the ground as when you just burnt cookies in the oven, right? So it doesn't know the difference. As long as there's smoke, the smoke alarm rings, right? That's a very simple thing. It's a very, very simple thing. And it rings in a way that is so loud and obnoxious. It is designed to make you jump into action without having to think about it. It is supposed to make you uncomfortable, pull you out of a deep sleep to save your life so you can do something. And if we do something, great. Those are the smoke alarms that stayed in business. You know, the ones that played classical music, everybody died in fire, so they went out of business. So the smoke alarms that work the best to get you up and into action are the ones that keep you alive. So, again, with us, as long as we keep fighting, we're still sending smoke up, right? We are still fighting. So for us, smoke is resistance.
I don't feel like I fight the thoughts, though, and I feel like I'm just trying to live through them, you know, without succumbing to the, you know, it's almost like me, a little bit sometimes I feel like it's OCD-ish, you know, because it's like an obsessive thought of it, cancer, and then I want, the compulsion is to find something, whether it's go to the doctor, which I just hate to do. I used to. When I was younger, I would go to the doctor, and now I just hate it. Run to the doctor every time, or Google something, because Googling always can make me feel worse. But I mean, I don't feel like I'm fighting the thoughts. I feel like I'm just trying to live with them. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Definitely, but there's a lot of doing, right? If you're doing something, right, you're taking some sort of action. Right? I need to do something about this thought, right? So as long as you're still doing, your alarm's like, oh, she's doing something, right? So it will still keep ringing as long as you keep doing something. So like the smoke alarm, when the smoke dies down, the alarm turns itself off. So with us, when our resistance, it's mostly like anxiety lives in the, I say fight of, but anything that has to do with, if you're doing things to feel better, even though that sounds like a normal thing to do because we're all normal people and obviously we want to feel better, as long as you're doing something to try and feel better or appease, like, okay, look, let me just look it up and see, no, I don't have cancer because this is symmetrical and that's asymmetrical. But hold on, let me look at it a little bit that's a little bit more of a bump over there, right? We are examining all, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but if like, if you're looking for reassurance to say, no, look, see, shh, we're fine. Okay, look, we're fine. And to kind of appease.
Yeah, no, that definitely, you know, yeah, because you look for, you want the, because if you get reassurance, and I don't go to the doctor and the doctor will say, this is fine. I mean, I don't ever second guess a doctor. I've never done that, but yeah, but that will make the anxiety go away. And I feel better.
Right.
Or if I can find something online where I can really identify that, you know, okay, yeah, no, it wasn't
my worst fear, you know, in that situation, then I feel better. So, yes, I'm definitely looking for reassurance because it's so uncomfortable to live, to have that feeling, that terrible, terrible anxious feeling that's caused by the what if it's cancer thought.
Right. And that's all
yeah.
fight right there, right? That's it. It's so DARE isn't really designed to feel better. The steps of DARE, and this is kind of what, like, a lot of people get, you're doing all the steps really, really well and correctly, but it's just a kind of skewing it like 3 degrees to the right. It's not about, like, getting rid of thoughts or feeling better or trying to just take just 5 minutes apiece, right? DARE is designed not as, like, weapons to get rid of something. DARE are tools to basically learn how to honestly, truly just do nothing. Just do nothing. Anxiety lives in resistance, not in discomfort.
And that's where my problem with the what if thoughts about health anxiety, I run into that obstacle of how I don't know how to do nothing because it's my
right.
health that we're talking about. So I don't know.
No,
how,
it's the idea of your
yeah.
health. It's the idea of your health, right? Because your health
yeah.
right now is fine.
Yeah,
but
it's all
it's
my
the idea of what it's if
all.
It's not.
Yeah, it's all in my mind. It's not. Yeah, and it's again, it's like a normal person who doesn't have this wouldn't have these thoughts, or if they did, they wouldn't put as much importance maybe to them as I do. And that's
well, we get
what you,
we
like
get
me,
stuck. But. Right. So we don't get. It's not the thought. I mean, anybody else on the call could relate because you're saying something that I'm pretty sure probably most people on the call would like be nodding along with, even if they're back on mute. Anybody else like nodding as you're hearing all this?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So
yes,
it's the same thing. It's we come up with reasons for why we need to fight these things or figure them out or feel better because, but it's my health, but like, I don't want to die. I don't want to get cancer. Right. And if you think about it, like anxiety is such an inward turn thing. Take one step back and look at it in a bigger picture. You think people who got cancer were like, well, I don't really care if I got it. So that's probably how I got it. So, you know, it's, we get so stuck when we fight ideas and we're trying to do something to make ourselves either like make sure we don't get this or like try and get rid of this thought so we feel better. And DARE is designed to learn how to not basically in a nut like very oversimplified not fight ideas we don't like. Because to boil it down to its to the bare minimum, it's just an idea you don't like. If you think about it, right? Not try to minimize how anybody's feeling, but try and strip it down to the bare bones. They really are just sensations we don't like, and they're just thoughts we don't like. A what if is just a thought of the future that we don't like, if you think about it, right? I mean, unless anybody would argue that. Take your silence as a no. Now, we get stuck, but what if? You know, and once we start fighting thoughts, our alarm starts assuming that, well, every time she has this thought, she's doing all these things. She's trying to like, okay, no, quiet, calm down. No, look, Google said we're fine. Honestly, I'm surprised because Google always says we're going to die in like 24 to 48 hours, right? Like, Google usually tells you, like, everything terrible is about to happen to you. But when we're looking, we constantly look for reassurance, right? Reassurance, I have people that go on Google for reassurance. People that have, like, you know, have bought their primary care physicians their third yacht from all the copays that they've had over the years. You know, like a just-in-case visit, even though the doctors say they're fine. People who purchase their own blood pressure machines or pulse oxes and all these things again. So when I don't like how I feel, let me hook myself up on this machine and take a look at okay, that's okay for the moment, right? You feel better for right then until the next what if pops up. Is that about right? and it kind of starts all back over again. Right. So DARE is designed to basically kind of not reprogram, but respond to your alarm in a different way to say, yes, alarm, you're right. That is a thought I don't like. But that's not, I don't have cancer right now. And the next thought that usually pops up, but what if you do? Well, then we'll deal with it if we do. And usually when I talk that way, everybody's like, I feel everybody clutches their chest because I usually end up saying the one thing you don't want to happen, you know? So like if, let's say somebody's what's your worst case scenario? What don't you want to happen? And like, what's your what if? And somebody else might say, what if you have a heart attack? What if I have a heart attack? Right? And the answer, just the factual answer to answer somebody who's saying, what if I have a heart attack? The answer is, oh, well, what if you have a heart attack? Well, you'll have a heart attack. I don't want to have a heart attack. Right? Usually that's what comes after. Right? But I don't want to have a heart attack. Yeah, you're right. Nobody wants to have a heart attack. But you're not having a heart attack right now. Right now you're fighting the idea of having a heart attack. And because you have a nice creative brain and you're alive, you will always have another sensation or another thought that you don't like that you will pair up with another worst case scenario. So DARE is designed to take those thoughts and like, so you have your alarm and you have thoughts and sensations, different things. Your alarm might constantly be pointing all these things at you because now they think there's 100 tigers out there. When really, there's like a tiger and like just a whole bunch of other animals, but we're fighting them all because just in case. Because what if they're all cancer? What if they're all heart attacks? What if they're all tigers, right? So it's learning how to, that's why DARE is not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy because it's up to us on how we respond to those ideas. So you and your protector, your alarm is right next to you. It is your bodyguard. It is your helper. It is taking care of you. It's kind of only doing what you're telling it to do. If you have a thought comes up, it could come up and it says, what if it's cancer? I'm just making it, what if it's a stroke? What if it's whatever? What if I throw up? What if I get sick? What if I pass out? What if, what if, what if, what if? All of those thoughts, it doesn't matter who has which thought and who has the other thought. As long as you're fighting that thought, you're fighting something, you're telling your alarm, I'm fighting something. And your alarm jumps into action and is just helping you fight it. So as long as you keep fighting thoughts, your alarm will keep bringing to fight thoughts. And now those thoughts feel as if they become the problem. The ideas of problems are now the problem. Does that make sense in a very backwards sort of way?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
So now, sorry?
No, I think so.
So now, like, we don't, like, my gosh, you're on fire? Well, no, but what if I'm on fire? No, but I just, like, my alarm is ringing because what if I'm on fire? So DARE is learning to sit with discomfort. It is the opposite of probably what everybody on this call is good at. I have people that are very good at certain things on these calls, and somebody, just let me know if I'm off base. I tend to get people that are very, very bright, logical-minded, smart people, very good at making associations between things and like correlations between things, people that are really want to like cause and effect. Like, want to know why these things happen, like the research analytical mind. I get the fighters, the doers, the go-getters, the very strong people. You tell me what to do, Michelle, and I will do it 110%, right? Tell me to meditate, I will meditate the shit out of this meditation, right? Just tell me what to do to get rid of this, to beat this. And like, you know, it's that type A, go-get-em personality. The black and white thinkers, I don't know if that's anybody, all or nothing. I mentioned that in the beginning of the call. Either everything's fine or I'm dying tomorrow. Or dying like in 5 seconds. It's never like, oh, it's just a little discomfort. Not many shades of gray in there. to get very people that are very sensitive and aware of things, like very aware and in tune with their body and their brains than maybe other people, even like the environment, other people, like very tuned in, very empathetic, very creative minds. I don't know. Does that hit home with anybody at all? Am I off base?
Yes.
No, yeah. I'm the eight, whatever you call it, the highly sensitive person. I mean, that's just my personality. So, yeah. No,
yeah, exactly. Right, yeah. And that's just personality, right? And they're excellent personality types. I mean, try not to get rid of it. You can't. It's your personality. But, like, we are the people that make waves in this world. People that run major corporations, people that have overcome crazy obstacles in their life. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of mindset. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. And I'll do it 100%. And I won't stop until it's done. But because anxiety lives in the fight, that's why I get the best fighters. I get the strongest fighters that get the most suck because you're, and especially if you're smart, you get another tick because now you're smart, strong fighters, which has probably served you well with everything else in life, right? But when it comes to this, it's 100% backwards. It's taking on this mindset of, like, probably how we're not really hardwired to go, that's funny. Whatever. I'll look into that maybe in another couple weeks. We'll figure that one out later. Or, I'm not going to do anything about that. I don't really care. Like, does that even, like, are those even words anybody on this call uses when it comes to this?
Yes, to me.
Is that you?
Yeah, I struggle with it because it doesn't make sense to me. And I'm constantly trying to figure out why. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fully aware of it. 3 years ago is when mine started. And before that, I had a friend who had health anxiety, and I didn't get it. And for me to tell her, just relax. Who cares? You know, it's not a big deal. You're fine. And I would tell her that, and then tables turn, and now I'm going through it, and now I just don't understand it. And everything else in my life has been very smooth. I'm very blessed life. And so this whatever triggered this doesn't make any sense to me. So, yeah, tell me what to do and I'm going to do it 110% because I'm ready to be over this.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I hear all the time. Or it's, hey, Michelle, my name is blah, blah, blah from blah, blah, blah. I don't know if Dare will work for my kind of anxiety because, or I might be a little different than everybody else because, or because I really was sick at one time, or because I saw something happen, or because I do have some sort of health issue. Well, Dare worked for me, and if anybody's thinking that, they probably just assume that everybody's thinking that. Thinking it, maybe my anxiety's a little different than everybody else. Well, my kind, will Dare be? It's all about the fight of these ideas. And that's why I could kind of run the same call for health anxiety or agoraphobia or panic attacks or generalized anxiety. It kind of doesn't matter. Because we're all fighting the ideas of something. We're not fighting actual scenarios because we would be busy surviving right now. So now we get really stuck when we start fighting, oh, but what if? Sometimes we go back and we fight memories. Like anxiety loves the past and it loves the future. It goes back to that one time I got scared about health, and it projects it forward into the future of what if. And we go back and forth. Dare, it's hard to teach people how to do nothing. When doing nothing, oftentimes, like for other people, might be like, okay, like ask my husband to do nothing. He will honestly, literally do absolutely, honestly nothing. And it's amazing sometimes to see people like that, right? They truly are just doing nothing. They're not really thinking of anything. Like when I'm thinking of nothing, I'm only thinking about 20,000 things instead of 40,000 things, you know? And it's just, we have busy brains. We're good at doing. So DARE is broken down into steps to teach people that are very good at doing things how to do nothing. It's like the Seinfeld version of therapy. You know, Seinfeld was a show about nothing. This is truly learning how to do nothing about thoughts, even thoughts that you really don't like, about futures that you really don't want to happen. Because as long as we're fighting the ideas, our alarm will keep ringing about ideas. So diffuse. Oh, well. Words, again, nobody ever probably really uses on these calls. Oh, well. So what? Who cares? Just, the word just, to the fact that I'm having a thought that I don't like. Not necessarily about the content of the thought. Most people don't go through DARE, and after 7 days, you're like, oh, I kind of want to have a stroke now. Or, yeah, cancer sounds like not so bad. No, it always sucks. Whatever's on the other end of the fight is something nobody wants, obviously, or you wouldn't be fighting it. It's not in what you're pushing away. Anxiety is in the push. So, oh, well, so what, who cares, is really geared towards the fact that, yeah, you're right. I already had a thought I don't like, and that's it. I had a thought I don't like. Oh, well.
Well, and I just say, so the next. I do feel like, I do feel like health anxiety is a little different. And I'm 46, and I've had anxiety. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was born with it basically all my life. So I've kind of, and I've had driving anxiety that I've dealt with and all sorts of, but I do feel like there's something different about health anxiety, because when you have these what if thoughts, your what if thought could be true, you know, and there,
of course
they
could be,
you know. So, but the thing is here's the thing. So, like, so we're looking at myself and my husband, for instance, who's not an anxious person at all. So he could have a blemish on his leg that he sees. It doesn't register with him, and he has no thoughts about it. Or if he does, it doesn't, you know, he'll go, oh, I'll ask the doctor about it the next time I'm there. So for me, though, I see a blemish. It registers. And I go, oh, gosh, I think that's maybe new. You know, I didn't notice it before. I'm hyper aware of my body. I kind of have an idea of what my body looks like. Oh, man, that might be cancer. I got to find out if that's cancer. So we have two entirely different reactions to the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So right. But my point with the health anxiety is there's, when you say to do nothing and just diffuse the thought, there's still something on my leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still a blemish on my leg. And my reaction to it may be overblown, but it's still there. You know what I mean?
Right,
so,
because there is your reaction.
So even though my husband's reaction would be, I'll just ask the dermatologist, I have an appointment in 3 months, I won't think about it every day like, you know, me, I do, and obsess over it until I find somebody to tell me that it's okay. My baseline is to presume that it's cancer until proven otherwise. So that's my goal, I think, is not to not do anything, but like to have reaction of a normal brain who it doesn't just completely wreck my day or my week or, you know, it's an obsessive thought that I have. I mean, I have cancer in my family, so I do a lot of preventative, you know, I had genetic counseling and the BRCA test and all that stuff a number of years ago. Everything came up negative, but they put me in this schedule of scans, these tests that I have to do. That most people don't have to do. I have to get an MRI on my breast, you know, every 6 months. Most people don't have to do that. And I've kind of gotten where I live kind of test to test. I have a hard time making vacation plans. You know, I force myself to do it anyway, not really knowing if I'm going to be able to go or not. Not because I've been diagnosed with anything, but because I just figure, oh, maybe the next test I have, I'm going to be diagnosed.
Right.
I mean, it really controls my life, you know? Anyway.
Right, and like you said, it's not the blemish. Like, DARE doesn't get rid of a blemish. Yeah, you still have a blemish. Just like people would still, you still have had a thought. You still have had a heart palpitation, right? So again, it's not designed to make whatever is making you uncomfortable go away. But it's not about stopping your initial reaction. Your husband's initial reaction and yours is obviously different. His is all an automatic shrug. Oh, well, right? Ours is not an automatic shrug. Ours, our alarm jumps. Like, oh, it's a lion, right? So it's already set to high alert, kind of because of how we've reacted to it a million times before, right? If we're constantly looping that thought around in our head, we're kind of telling our alarm, yeah, you're right. This is something to be on the lookout for, because there is cancer in my family, because I really could get sick, because health anxiety is different. And let me tell you all the reasons why it's different, which is in a very subtle way, telling me why I need to fight this more than driving. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, but driving, yeah, but that's okay. But this is serious. And as long as you're saying this is serious, again, because it's such a paradox, your alarm says, what's serious? Oh, health anxiety? Okay, great. All right, so anything to do with health, we're gonna alert her of. So it's assuming you're going to have that initial reaction and consciously putting the steps of DARE into place, which is kind of taking your alarm by the hand. You know, Barry says turn it into a cartoon or like a squeaky voice, because it's your protector alerting you of something. Okay, so right now you are not sick. Right now it is the idea of getting sick. Right now it's burnt cookies, right? But what if it's not burnt cookies in 6 months? Yeah, whatever. We'll deal with it in 6 months. We can't put out a fire before the fire starts. So we tend to cross that line of preparing for something and like doing things to be healthy and controlling our future. And to me, it always comes down to control and vulnerability. We're doing things now not to, I'm going to like eat healthy and stay away from these certain things, oh, because there's cancer in my family. It's like we get stuck into controlling things as we're living as if it's happening right now. And as long as we're trying to get rid of thoughts and trying to appease thoughts to feel better, that's very subtly, but that's what's keeping it going. So like I was saying before, diffuse is saying, oh, well, so what? Not so what? Yes, great, this terrible thing is going to happen to me. It's, oh, well, to the fact that I've had a thought I don't like based on, yes, you're right, there's something on my leg. It could be dirt. It could be cancer. It could be just a discoloration of my skin. It could be 10 million things, but we tend to err on the side of caution, right? Our alarm rings on worst case scenario because we have a very super overprotective alarm right now. So we get to choose our response. So our response is, again, diffuse and then accept and allow. Accept and allow the fact that I am uncomfortable and I'm having a thought I don't like, which is fine. We have lots of thoughts we don't like. Our problem is not fear, but of the fight of fear, the control of fear, trying to get rid of discomfort. So run towards can be tricky with thoughts sometimes, but it's learning how to say, I can have these thoughts all day long. Still doesn't equal an actual health emergency. They really still are just thoughts. When I notice my thoughts running off into the future, I get to tell myself, yeah, that's right. That is a future idea. Like you said, like, oh, was that Michelle who was saying, like, but these things really could happen, right? Like, but I really could. And I'm sure everybody on the call would agree, right? But I could have a stroke. But I could have a heart attack. I could have cancer. Sure. Of course you could. Because if it was impossible, your alarm wouldn't ring about it, right? If it truly couldn't happen. Nobody calls me saying, I can't stop thinking about the idea of what if I'm attacked by a unicorn. You know, there's no unicorns, I don't think. But, you know, but I could have a heart attack. I could have cancer. Now, this is where it sounds a little opposite of what you would think you would want to do. Actually, the answer is like your response to that, rather than appeasing and placating and trying to calm down and feel better about it. As you see, like it's only temporary, right? It's kind of like a quick Band-Aid fix. It sounds bananas, but it's more like telling your alarm, yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess, I could. I mean, I could have cancer. I could have a heart attack. I could have a stroke. Yeah, I could throw up. I could pass out. Fill in the blank with, I mean, anybody else on the call want to chime in with anything else that they're fighting the idea of? You know, you could just fill that in the blank and yes, that could happen. But when you nod your head and say yes, you're not hoping something terrible happens. You're not hoping to be sick or die some painful death. You're nodding at the fact that I had a thought I don't like, or I'm feeling something I don't like. Or, yeah, there's something on my body that I don't like. Yeah, you're right. And when you nod along, it's the opposite from trying to shut it down. Be quiet. Because if you're saying, no, look, we'll Google and we'll feel better. Quick, let's do something. Something's happening that I don't like. All that doing is what's keeping the alarm ringing. So when you start doing the opposite, it's a very counterintuitive approach. Yes, that's right. There's a thought I don't like. Yeah, you're right. There's a 0.001% chance that this particular thing could happen to me right at the second, but yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. But right now, right this very second, actually fine. I might not feel fine, but I don't have to fight how I feel. So right now, I'm just working. Right now, I'm going to go out and eat. Right now, I'm just mowing the lawn. And you re-engage back in life. Not to push thoughts away, not to not think about that weird feeling in your leg or whatever it is, but to... Those are the steps of DARE and how they are to be used in regards to anything, thoughts, sensations, situations. For this particular call, it's related to health. It doesn't matter what's on the other end of that push. Anxiety is in the push. It's in the control, the fight, the like distractions, the trying to soothe and calm and feel better. So what you're trying to do is make your alarm quiet. It's the opposite. It's learning how to sit and allow yourself to be uncomfortable without doing anything about the discomfort. It's okay that I don't like how I feel. It's okay that I have thoughts I don't like. It doesn't have to have any other meaning attached to it but that. My last little comparison, and then I'll open up the call to see if anybody has questions or comments. I often compare how to use DARE, kind of like to going to the gym. Nobody views the gym as like this place I should go and feel comfortable, right? It's uncomfortable. Gym is designed to, like, if it feels comfortable, you're not really getting a workout, you know? So you go with the mindset of, yeah, I want to lose 10 pounds, but obviously not today. Today, I just am expecting discomfort. I'm expecting it to hurt. And if I were to go, because I don't go, if I were to start today, I would probably feel twice as uncomfortable. Because now not only am I out of shape and I'm sore. It feels much better to just sit home and eat double stuffed Oreos because I can do that like a champion. But the gym, I'd have to kind of just start slow, right? I'd have to start with 5-pound weights and they would still feel uncomfortable. But that guy, he's lifting 30-pound weights, and he's lifting them with no problem. Oh, my body is different. Well, yeah, I just got to get a little stronger. So start with 5-pound weights. Forget the expectations and the shoulds and the, oh, but I should be in better shape because of it. You just kick up weights and put them down and do it multiple times. And it will feel uncomfortable, and that's okay. But as long as you keep going, let's say 2 weeks go by, as long as I just keep going, suddenly, you know, 2 weeks later, 5 pounds, easy, right? I pick up those same 5-pound weights I picked up 2 weeks ago. Now it's easier. The weights are exactly the same. The weights did not change. I didn't do anything to them. 5 pounds is 5 pounds. They feel lighter because I got stronger. So that's, to me, like how to use DARE. Confidence is our strength when it comes to this. Thoughts will always be thoughts. They'll always be shitty thoughts. They'll always be thoughts you don't like. So we can, like, kind of give ourselves reasons as to why, oh, yeah, but these are all the reasons why I should fight them. Okay, well then, but you're still feeling anxiety because you're fighting them. So DARE is designed, again, this weird practice of doing nothing because it empowers you. It empowers you to this idea that, wow, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I could have a heart attack right here in the store. I could. Well, you know what? Let's just have one. Let's just do it. Because you're not actually controlling anything anyway. All you're doing is not fighting the idea of something happening. So that's what's empowering. That's where your power is. Not in control, not in controlling thoughts to be like a normal person. Thoughts are thoughts. We just fight against them, and the more we fight, the more we tell our alarm to help us fight. So I've blabbed on for a very long time, but those are like all the points I really want to make sure people get it when they're using DARE. So for the next week, it's not practice on not having thoughts or having them like calmly fade away out into the deep blue sea and feeling better and better and better until I feel like rainbows and unicorns. It's like, okay, these things that I don't like the most are the things I kind of need to spend the most time with, because those are the things I'm in all subtle ways kind of pushing against. I don't want these things to happen. But when I'm fighting them as if they are happening right now, my alarm is helping me fight as if they are happening right now. As long as you're fighting right now, your alarm will ring right now. So diffuse, allow, run towards, engage. Give it a nod. Yep. Yeah, you're right. Oh, there's that weird sensation. Oh, I feel like I'm going to pass out. Oh, I feel like I'm going to faint. Do I? All right, well, let's see if I faint. No? All right, come on. Well, let's have at it. Give it to me. I'll get it. Squeeze in a quick nap before my kids come home. Even if you can make it somewhat lighthearted, again, about something that you don't want to laugh about, but when it's about letting go of the fight of the idea of something you don't like. I know I sound repetitive, but I'm kind of supposed to be, because that's the repetition you want to put into your heads as your responses, your conscious responses. You're not going to shut off those initial thoughts, but every time you have an initial thought that pops up, you have the power to put in a new response. And, oh, well, there's a thought. Oh, yes. Oh, good. There's a thought I can practice with. There's something I can play with. And when you use the steps of DARE in that way, you start allowing those thoughts to become more irrelevant. Irrelevant is like a very big word with this. It's a very relevant term, irrelevant. If you're trying really hard to use DARE to get rid of something, whether it's thoughts or whatever, make you feel better, you're making those feelings relevant and important. When you let go of things, you allow them to become irrelevant, and they float away. That's DARE, diffuse, allow, towards, engage. Oh, yeah, there's that thing I don't like. Yep, there's that feeling. Yep, there's that thought. Okay, well, I mean, I guess I can think it all day long, but I'm not in danger right now. And it takes practice, and it takes conscious effort to put that new response into place. But that's what you sign up for, right? That's, you know, right? This is the beginning of the week where it seems so odd to be doing it this way. But does everybody see why that would work in such a counterintuitive way?
Yes.
Yeah? Just want to make sure everybody gets that. Because sometimes it's such like a subtle little change, like, oh, yeah. I'm like basically telling myself why I need to get rid of these thoughts, or why this is so important, or why, like, but this could really happen. Yeah, sure, you're right, it could. Anybody on the call could probably say something similar, right? Yeah, but I really could. Of course, we're all going to die. We don't know how. We don't know when. And that's what makes us feel so out of control and vulnerable. So we're on the lookout. We've got our magnifying glasses. We have our microscopes. We check everything out. We're research analysts. We're trying to figure it all out. And what's happening is that's how you're living every day. You're surviving all day long. You're not just living. You're surviving, right? And you kind of get stuck in a whole lot of doing about ideas of danger. And when you start using DARE, you start seeing it as more smoke and mirrors. Oh, it's still, whatever it is on my leg, is on my leg. Whatever that feeling was in my arm, it's still the feeling in my arm. I'm choosing how I respond to those things now. That's what this week is going to be for. So does anybody have anything they wanted to ask or need clarification or share or how things are going? I know it's still the beginning of the week. So our last call on Friday will be more of like an open call so everybody could talk more. But I just want to make sure, does everybody understand all that? Anybody have any questions?
I think so. Thank
no,
you.
I fixed it all. I fixed everybody up. You're all good. I won't even see you on the next call. All right, so the next call will be Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern time. So that'll be now. So then you'll have the week to go and do all the work. And of course, with this, the work is work at doing nothing, work at just sitting, at observing, just giving a nod to your thoughts. Yes, that's right. Yep, I don't like that thought. And yes, my alarm is ringing. And yes, I still feel fear. But I don't need to control how I feel. I can't turn off fear. I can't turn off my thoughts. I can't turn off sensations. But I'm practicing not fighting all of those things. And that's diffuse, allow, run towards, engage. To allow these thoughts to become irrelevant. Not to eradicate them. You know, not to get rid of them. Those are, whatever it is that it's on, pinned up on your radar. Oh, it's a heart attack. Oh, it's getting sick in public. Oh, it's cancer. Oh, it's migraines. Oh, it's whatever. Whatever it is. It's learning how to take, yes, that's something I don't want to happen, but anxiety is in the fight of that. Not that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, listen, blow up that Facebook page. Post away. Don't wait for Suzanne to post, but, you know, respond to what she's posting. But, you know, you sign up for it. You pay for the program. Get your money's worth. Post pictures. Post, hey, I had all these thoughts, but you want to switch up your butts, and that's what shows what's relevant and what's irrelevant, right? So one last thing to leave you with. Pay attention to how you're thinking. If, yeah, I'm going out and I'm doing all these things and I'm working there, but these thoughts are still relentless, but I'm still having these feelings. You want to switch that. Still give it its place. Still allow that you're having thoughts you don't like, but that's what's going to become irrelevant. Yeah, I'm still having all these thoughts. Yep, here I am. Here's a picture of me at work. With, you know, all these thoughts of terrible things happening to me, but here I am at my daughter's dance class. Here I am, you know, changing my tire on the side of the street, but here I am engaging in life. And the more you switch your focus from fighting the ideas of danger to actually engaging in life, that's when you start allowing ideas to just become ideas. They're just ideas. Should they actually become real life situations, you can give yourself full permission to deal with them if and when that does happen. But right now, I'm at a restaurant eating dinner. But right now, I'm at the gym. But what if I have a heart attack on the treadmill? Well, then I'll have a heart attack on the treadmill. Maybe they'll give me my next month membership for free. But right now, I'm getting my workout. And that's how you start showing your alarm what's actual danger and what's perceived danger. Go ahead, alarm, and ring. Go ahead and tell me all about this thought and all the terrible things that could happen to me. Thank you, alarm, for letting me know. But right now we're just having sushi. And it's subtle. And you really have to start paying attention to not just what you're thinking, but how you're thinking about it. All these little bits of information. I know I sound nitpicky, but the words you choose really, really drives home how you feel about certain things. So just be aware of that as you move on this week and see, like, am I using there to truly just sit and nod? Yes, Yeah, you're right. There's a thought I don't like. Yeah, you're right. Sure, that could happen. Sure, anything could happen. Sure, I mean, I don't know. A wild animal could run through my front door. I guess it could. But right now, it's not. So I'm not living as if I am in danger all day long. I'm just going to live. And I might have to keep redirecting myself, but that's the point of this week. Learning how to give it a nod and get back into life. Yep, give it a nod, do what you want, be here all day long, back into life. This is my new pattern. It's going to take time, but this is what's going to set the foundation for it. Does that make sense to everybody? Or whoever's still left with me?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it does.
Good, okay. All right, so post on Facebook. Keep doing, you know, all the challenges and listen to Barry's, you know, audios that you get, you know, sent over and I will talk to everybody on Friday, but go at this week with this mindset. It takes a lot of work to do nothing. It's hard for people to let go, nod, accept and allow. All things that we're not very good at. So, you know what? We're good at a bunch of other things. It's just going to take practice and this is the week to practice. All right. If anybody has any questions this week or something that I sound confused about, you can post on Facebook. I will pop on and check. Suzanne can answer a million questions too. She's really keeping up with the Facebook page. You can always send me an email. Again, if you miss it, it's michellecavanaughcoaching@gmail.com. And we will have our next call at the end of this week is more of like a wrap up. But remember, all the work is done in between the calls. This is like my first call is really kind of just to lay the foundation of how to do all this. And then it'll be the work of really just learning how to make peace with yourself. It's like two sides of you fighting against each other, but you both have the same goal in mind. You both want to just live life and stay alive. So it's learning how to drop that rope of tug of war. Say, yeah, you're right. Thanks, alarm. And learning how to kind of live in harmony with your alarm. What you fight, it jumps in and helps you fight. Keep that in mind. Whatever it is you're trying to get rid of, your alarm is right there next to you, helping you get rid of it. So even if you guys have the DARE book, even sometimes skimming back over it, rereading it, but with that mindset, you can kind of pick it up on things in a different sort of way. And I will speak to you all on the next group call, or I will see you on Facebook, but please post pictures, post questions, post yes, how you feel, and yes, what you thought, but then what? Because that's where you want to start putting the focus on. Yeah, I have these thoughts, but then I did this. But then I went to the store anyway. But then I finished my workout anyway. To show like how I'm allowing thoughts to become irrelevant rather than trying to get rid of these thoughts because I hate how it feels. You see the difference?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. Well, hopefully we'll get more people chiming in on the next call, and I definitely won't be speaking nearly as much, and I'll try and have it run by everybody on the call so you can share your experiences and challenges and goals, and I'll also speak about if everybody likes, you know, all the extra support, what other, you know, other programs we have through DARE if you'd like to keep up with us, okay? All right, everyone. Well, take care. Have a great day. I'll speak to you all soon.
Thanks, you too.
All right, bye.
The moderator has left the conference.